today we are going to be in Luke chapter 10. And while you're turning there, we have just enough time to do two quick memes of the week. Are you ready for, yes, two memes of the week? They're not the greatest, I'll be honest, but they're not bad, you know. But I love, you know, being here from Texas, this one really, I feel this one, y'all. I really do. And I literally felt this one Monday, too. So here you go. Says, non-Texan, stepping on Legos is the worst. Texan, that's cute. And when I said I literally felt that one Monday, I meant I literally felt that one on Monday. So, you know, one more little meme that kind of, I think, this is going to capture some of you. This is going to capture where you are. So here you go. Here's this picture right here. I don't know what this cow is going through, but I can relate. I have so many questions, y'all. There are just so many questions that I will never have answers to about that picture. But I have to be honest, could anybody here relate to that? You know, you're like, I don't know what that cow's going through, but I've had that moment where I'm just standing there and the water is flowing and I'm just staring off into nowhere and I feel like a cow in the ocean, right? You probably never said that phrase, a cow in the ocean, but you will now, right? It's kind of a fascinating because this is a crazy time of year for so many people. Talking to people this morning and talking to people over the last couple of days, this is the time of year that it seems like you go, how are you doing? And someone says, well, I'm surviving, right? I'm here. I've made it, right? I would ask the question, how many of you have said something like that the last couple of days? And some of you wouldn't raise your hands and you're lying because you said it to me this morning, right? And if I didn't raise my hand, I'd be lying because I said that to some of you over the last couple of days. You know, it seems like sometimes we have just more things to do than we really have time for. Did anyone else feel that way? Right? Sometimes it just feels like there are those moments where we have all the time in the world. We have productive days. We go to bed. We put our head down on our pillow and we just have this inward smile of, yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be. But then there are the other 364 days a year. The other 364 days a year where you fall asleep on the couch while you're sitting there trying to do some work, or maybe you're just watching TV, just trying to relax, and you wake up on the couch about, you know, 1 a.m. and you go, okay, it's time for me to go crawl in bed, and you trip on your way to the bedroom because you forgot that you had stuff laying there that you didn't put up, that you thought you'd set it right there in the way, and then you trip on it, and then you finally get to bed, and you just crash, and you are asleep before your head hits the pillow, and you're drooling all over your pillow, and you're covered in your own, you know, saliva, and you don't even realize it because you're just so worn out from the day. Then there are those days as well, too, right? It seems like we all have things that we need to do that's important, and that's so true. And it seems like this time of year, there is so much that's going on, and we are so busy, and we are pulled so many different directions, so many decisions you have to make. Then you're trying to make time for your family and spend time with them. Then you've got your job, and a lot of people's job just seems to go crazy in late August, early September. It just seems like everyone's job universally is going to be busy and crazy during that time. It seems like you've got school starting up, and for the kids and the parents and the college students and the grad students, your stress level just skyrockets. Everything is just going crazy around you, and there's all those decisions you have to make. Some of you literally woke up this morning and you rolled over and you went, I don't even know what day it is. Oh, it's Sunday. Oh, I have to go to church. And you made the decision and you're here. And I'm talking about myself on that one. Just kidding. I really did wake up and not know what day it was, but I was excited about coming to church. It seems like there is so much going on in life, and it just seems nonstop, and it just seems like it's spiraling and snowballing and getting faster and faster and faster. And I think sometimes we don't know how to handle our own schedules. We don't know how to handle our own stress levels. We don't know how to handle our lives. Anyone can relate to that? You're a cow in the ocean going, I don't know what I'm doing here. There's this great little story. There's one family in the Bible that I think we can relate to. It's actually even I preached on the same passage. It was a very different sermon, but I preached on the same passage back 5 years ago even. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42, and I think you're going to see part of their story, part of this family's story, and part of what they are going through. And I think you're going to identify with it. So let me start reading here. We're going to read Luke 10, 38 through 42. It says, while they were traveling, he entered, meaning Jesus, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. We could just end the service right there, because that's convicting enough, isn't it? It very much is. But I love this story. You know, there's this family. There's two sisters that we know of, Mary and Martha. We also know, he's not mentioned here, but they have a brother named Lazarus. And from what we can tell from what we read in the Bible, these three, these two sisters and a brother were pretty close with Jesus. From what we can tell, they have this great relationship with him. And here you've got this picture of Jesus going to see some friends, people he probably hasn't seen in a while, and he's gone back to this town. Maybe this is the first time they've ever met. We don't know. My guess is that they've met before. My guess is that they're friends already, that this relationship is there, and Jesus pops in for a visit. Now imagine you're sitting there, you know, there's a knock on the door. You go and answer the door, and who's there? But it's Jesus and his buddies, his disciples that are traveling with him. Notice Jesus was traveling with a group, and they show up at your house and go, hey, we wanted to pop in for a visit. Would that, if that was you, would your stress level just fly through the roof at that point? Right? Even if it was just Jesus popping into your house, that would make your stress levels fly. Now imagine you've got 13 people that pop into your house. What would that do, right? Would that just stress you out a little bit? A little bit, right? That's almost the picture that we see here. You know, one of those things that I love, it's not long from now that we're going to start preparing for our March, our spring break mission trip to Honduras. And we love that trip. We love those people. We love the Honduran people. They are some of the most welcoming people. We literally walk up to their door with five or six of us, you know, from another country, and then one native teenager who's a native speaker who's translating and go, hey, can we come into your house? And they go, yes, come in. We are so happy to see you. And they bring chairs out, and they have the way that the Honduran houses are is usually there's like a room here and a room here, and there's a little hallway, a little breezeway type of thing, just a little small porch that's maybe, you know, 7, 8, 10 foot wide, and it's covered, and usually they bring out chairs, and we just sit there, and we just talk, and we just have an amazing time together. Life just shuts down for a little bit, and we spend that time just getting to interact with our Honduran friends and getting to spend time with them. Y'all, it's amazing. It's great. But I want to tell you, if 13 of you show up at my house this afternoon, you're going to stress me out. You know? You are. That's just the nature of it, isn't it? And so here's this picture. I think Jesus is going to see some friends, and he shows up there, and he stops by their house, and immediately you see the different personalities of the sisters here, don't you? Now, Martha is, how would I describe Martha? Anyone want to call yourself a good Southern woman? That's what I picture when I think of Martha. She is just the most hospitable, good Southern woman. She is. Company comes. What do? You feed them, right? She's a Baptist, y'all. If you're going to come, she's going to have food for you. She's Baptist. She's probably got a casserole ready to go, but she's got to put it in the freezer. This is just kind of the way that she is. So we see this picture that Jesus shows up. Martha is probably slinging stuff around the kitchen. She's, you know, probably gone and milked the cow. She's wringed the chicken's neck and is preparing, you know, a chicken gumbo or something. She's got all that going on. She's picked peas. She's got cornbread in the oven. She's doing all this sort of thing. And the whole time, you know what she's probably thinking? I can't believe I have to do this by myself. I can't believe that I'm trying to do this. If I If I didn't do anything around this house, then nothing would get done. How many of you ever said that phrase? My wife says that all the time because it's true, right? If I didn't do it, it wouldn't happen. The harder she works, I think the madder and the more frustrated she is getting at this entire situation. And before long, I almost could see Martha, I almost wish we could know what was going through Martha's head at this moment. I think the longer this went on and the more the work piled up in front of her, because she's trying to feed Jesus, she's trying to feed all of his disciples, his entourage that shows up with him. And she is getting stressed out. And I want to picture what her thoughts are, because I have a feeling after about a half hour of this, she's, you know, just going, well, I can't believe Mary's leaving me in here to do it. You know, 10 minutes later, she's going, this is just like her. She did the same thing 5 years ago. You know, half an hour later, she's going, 20 years ago, Mary did this. And this is almost the way I picture this conversation going in Martha's mind. Now, Mary, while Martha's in there inwardly blaming Mary for every problem Martha's had over the last 20 years, I think that's probably happening here, that's what Martha's going through. Mary, meanwhile, what is she doing? Well, she's just happy to see Jesus. She's not worried about what they're going to eat. We don't see her grabbing the vacuum cleaner. We don't see her grabbing the broom to sweep up things. She didn't turn red from embarrassment at how dusty the coffee table was. She didn't do all that. It was just in her mind, well, Jesus is here, so let's let everything else wait, because Jesus is here, right? Everything else doesn't matter. She just was happy to sit and spend time with Jesus, just happy to have a conversation with him. Probably about that same time, there's a loud sound in the kitchen because, you know, Martha's knocked over some dishes or something like that. Maybe smells like something's burning. We have no idea, but we do know that at some point she comes out, and what does she do? She jumps all over, not Mary, but Jesus. Look at this in verse 40. We'll put this up here on the screen for you to see it. Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and she asked, not Mary, but she asked Jesus, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand. Now, I just want to say, if Jesus shows up at your house, you know, and he's your guest, it's probably not a good thing to jump all over him, you know. This is part of the reason why I think there was an existing relationship here. I think this is part of the reason why they are already friends. And Martha goes to her friend and says, look, if you think about this, you think about what she is actually saying in this sentence. Three things that I want to point out. Basically, look at what she's saying. Very first thing, Lord, don't you care? You just stop right there. That's where she first started off with. Lord, don't you care? Think about what that is saying here. I want you guys to understand that sometimes busyness, one of those dangers of busyness is that it skews your perspective. And all of a sudden, all that seems to matter is what is right in front of you, and that's your schedule, and that's your busyness. And it skews how you view everything else. This was a bit of a crazy week for me. Last week was a bit of a crazy week as well. So I've had two busy, crazy weeks back to back, and it is so easy to just stop right there and let that skew the way you see everything. Just skew life in general. And Martha stands in front of Jesus, who has taken on flesh and has become a human to die for her sins on a cross. And she says those four words, Lord, don't you care? You catch the ironic perspective in all of this? Does she really think that Jesus doesn't care about what she's going through? I think she knows that Jesus does. But y'all, your stress levels, your busyness, our stress levels, our busyness, let me correct that. It can skew the way we see things, and it skews our perspective. And Martha, in this moment, feels like Jesus doesn't care about what she is going through. But she goes on and she says, can't you see that I can't do this by myself? She said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone, by myself? There is no one else. And Jesus, I can't do this alone. You kind of catch that perspective here? Another one of those dangers of busyness, Busyness tends to isolate you from everyone else. You know why that busyness isolates you from everyone else? Well, in part because you have so much to do that you're just on the to-do list and the relationships tend to suffer. But by the same token, it begins to isolate you and you begin to feel like you're on an island, that you're the cow standing out in the ocean going, well, how did I get here, right? It's very much this picture. Sometimes your busyness can just isolate you. It can separate you from everything else. And I think that's what Martha's going through here. And then the last thing, you know, she says, tell her to give me a hand. Basically what she's saying is she's like, can't you get me some help? I want you to think about those three phrases right there. Lord, don't you care? Can't you see I can't do this by myself? Can't you get me some help? Have you said one of those to God this week? Some of you are shaking your heads and some of you are doing what we call lizard face. You're going, right? Lizard face. Lizard face is that thing. Whenever you make eye contact with someone you don't know, you immediately go lizard face. You're like, you know, because it's kind of a weird thing. Some of you are doing lizard face to those questions, right? Because you're going, yeah, I've said all of those, right? Maybe I haven't said, Lord, don't you care? Because I know he has. But I'm like, God, can't you get me some help? God, don't you know I can't do this by myself? Y'all, I want you to see part of what we're talking about with the danger of busyness is it can skew your perspective, it can isolate you, but it can make you feel like you're just at the end of your rope. It makes you feel like, I am alone, I am out here, can't you lend me a hand? Because God, I have my list, I have my things I have to get done, and I can't do that without help, right? You know what that looks like? That is letting your schedules and your busyness control you instead of you controlling your busyness and your schedules, right? There is a difference between those. This week was, I had deadlines here with things that had to happen at church, and it just seemed like it was just checklist after checklist. And y'all, this is one of those weeks where I didn't want to preach this sermon, but God's like, you need to hear this yourself and then maybe share that with everyone else. And so I'm going, okay, God, fine. I'll do that, right? Because we say these things all the time, don't we? I love this picture. I want you to stop and think about this because it has a familiar ring. But there's another thing that I think that has happened here, another danger of busyness. Notice, who's Martha addressing this to? To Jesus, right? And notice, this isn't just a nice little polite conversation. This is an accusatory type of conversation. This is her snapping at Jesus. You ever catch yourself snapping at someone else? You ever catch yourself responding in anger to someone else when you know you shouldn't have? That's what busyness does a lot of times. It causes you to damage the relationships around you because you're saying things you shouldn't say. You're responding in anger and you're letting your anger dictate what you say instead of controlling your anger, controlling what you say. And it just becomes this, and you throw it all over whoever is around. I think all of us have kind of done that. But how do we get to this way? How do we reach this spot where we go, you know, Lord, don't you care? Can't you see I can't do this by myself? And can't you get me some help? There's this really convicting verse in Proverbs 17 that just really convicts me because I'm a preacher. I talk a lot. I use a lot of words, y'all. Proverbs 17, verse 27 actually says this. We'll put it up here on the screen for you to see. The one who has knowledge restrains his words. And the one who keeps a cool head is a person of understanding. Oh, wow. They even said the one who keeps a cool head. What's the opposite of a cool head? Hot head, right? Anybody else, you have a hot-headed moment this week? Anyone else have a hot-headed moment this morning? Anyone else having an inward hot-headed thing right now and going, I wish David would be quiet and let us go eat, right? This is such a convicting thing for me. Because when you have knowledge, when you have understanding, when you know where your anger is coming from, when you know that where your stress level is coming from, when you know why you've committed to all of this busyness, when you can understand all of that, it makes all the difference in the world. Person who has knowledge restrains his words, and the one who keeps a cool head is a person of understanding. Have you ever popped off at someone because you were mad at them, and then you found out there was a reason behind they did whatever they did that made you mad, and then you felt bad for getting mad at them? And you're like, well, if only I had known that, right? Because there's so much more that comes into play when we have knowledge, when we understand the situation. And I want to talk specifically about anger here for a minute, because I think Martha responds in anger. She's popping off to Jesus. She is just so mad, and she's responding in her anger at Mary to Jesus here. But I want us to take a good hard look at what causes anger. All right. I've said this before. I think because it's true. I think that there's about five causes of anger. We'll put them up here on the screen. Stress is the number one cause of anger. When your stress levels rise, it is so much easier to get angry. Let's be honest. It can be hard to be stressed. I mean, it can be hard to be angry if you're not stressed, right? Partially, that's why we take vacations. It's why most of us don't get angry on vacation. Unless there's some sort of a thing and the family has to catch a plane at like 3 o'clock and it's 2:30 and you're trying to get the kids ready to go and you get angry, right? Because why? You're stressed. You're following all that. Stress is the number one cause of anger, I think. But there's other reasons that get angry. Now, I'm going to say that stress hurts all these others so much more. It affects them so much more. But sometimes you're hurt. You are angry because you are hurt. Right? You ever been hurt by something and it just makes you angry? Y'all, hurt is a big part of who we are. And we need to learn how to deal with our hurts. We need to learn how to deal with our pains. We need to learn how to deal with all of those things so that anger isn't the outcome of that. But frustration, there's a lot of reasons we get frustrated, don't we? But sometimes we just become angry, and it's not really anger, it's frustration. And we didn't deal with our frustration, so it leads to anger. It progresses. It gets further down the road, and now it's angry. Just because we were frustrated at a situation, but now it's led to us to be angry at someone, to be angry at some body like your work, be angry at your church, be angry at something. And it all started with you were frustrated. Things didn't go the way you wanted it to. You wanted it to go a different way, and that frustrated you. And then when you don't deal with that, it just snowballs and snowballs. So now it's anger. And now it's saying to Jesus, well, don't you care? Don't you know I'm doing this by myself? Don't you know that I cannot do this? Can't you give me some help? It becomes all of those things. Sometimes we are angry, but really what's driving that anger is our insecurity. This is one we don't think about a lot. But your insecurity can make you angry, right? Have you ever been angry and in your anger you begin to realize, you know, hey, I'm really angry at myself, and I didn't realize that, and I'm angry that I'm this way, and I'm angry because of that, right? Sometimes our insecurities, all those things that we just go, I wish I was this way and I wish I was that way. But if you're not, you begin to go, okay, well I wish I was. And then you begin to get angry that you're not that way. Right? You with me on all that? Guys, your insecurities can affect you in so many ways. Anger can be one of those outcomes when we just let our insecurities run, when we let our insecurities define who we are. Anger is a lot of times what happens. Sometimes our anger is caused by injustice, right? You know that person that just, it's not that they see a wrong in the world and it makes them angry. It makes them frustrated, right? We get angry when we read things on the news about, you know, specifically, like if you want to talk about injustice, the things that seem to rile up most people more than anything else is when they see on the news about someone that's hurt a child or hurt an animal or done something like that. You know what? We go, they need to throw the book at that person and throw them in jail. And we get angry. Do you know why we're getting angry? Because we've seen an injustice, and that justice part of us is going, that is not right. Right? So stress affects us, causes us to get angry. Hurt causes us to get angry. Frustration, insecurity, injustice. I want to ask you this. Which one do you think that Martha is struggling with in this moment? When she's angry and she pops off at Jesus because she's got this checklist that's up there. What do you think is really making her angry? For sure, stress, right? Probably a little bit of hurt.
Probably it started off with some frustration that Mary is in there listening to Jesus while I'm here doing all this sort of thing. Her sense of justice goes, well, that is not right, but I want you to understand here for a minute. She's angry, I don't think because she says what Mary's doing is unjust. I think she's upset because Mary's not doing what she wants her to do. And there's a big difference. This is not what Mary's doing isn't right. This is, but Mary needs to do this first, right? I mean, it's just a difference of opinion. I don't think you could say that Martha's angry because of injustice. I don't think Mary's being unfair to Martha at all. I look at this list and I think she's stressed, she's hurt, frustrated. And rather than deal with all that, it becomes this anger that she unloads on Jesus and she explodes on him. Because that's one of the dangers of being busy. That's one of the dangers of our checklist. That's one of the dangers of feeling like we have so many things we need to do. Most of the time, more than we'd like to admit, we live life more like Martha. We're trying to juggle 10 things all at once, right? You've got to get the kids to ball games. You have to do this. You have to do this. You have to do this. We're juggling with all these things, and our busyness and our struggles just, we don't know how to deal with them. And there's a very real danger in that. Things get crazy in a hurry, and we're stressed out, and we try and do our best. And so we jump in with both feet. There's always more to do. You do this chore, but then all of a sudden, three more are there that you have to do. And we feel like we're just going under. We feel completely overwhelmed. And then we get frustrated, and then we get angry, and then we get fighting mad. And then finally we cry out, Lord, don't you care? Lord, can't you see that I can't do this by myself? Lord, can't you give me some help? And we turn into Martha in those moments. But I love this picture. How does Jesus respond to Martha? I think there's an important lesson that we can learn here. First of all, Jesus acknowledged what she was going through. Did you catch that? Notice at the beginning, Jesus doesn't say, Martha, you're just all messed up, girl. Right? He doesn't say that. Instead, look at the very first thing he says to her. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. From the very start, Jesus is acknowledging what she's going through. From the very start, Jesus is right there saying, look, man, you have so much that is stressing you out. You have so much that you are worried about. There is so much going on in your life. Do you think that entails just what is happening here? Or do you think Jesus is talking on a bigger picture? He knows more of what's going on in her life. And I think that's the case. He knows more of what's going on. And Jesus, first of all, is acknowledging her, and he's going, look, I know you're worried. I know you've got anxieties. I know there is so much going on in your life. And he validates her. Isn't that amazing? There's a lot we can just feel that validation from God, and that means the world to us, doesn't it? Jesus, in that first moment, says, Martha, I know where you're coming from. I know you're worried. I know your fears. I know all of this. And he acknowledges what is going on in her life. And he sees how anxious and how worried she is. And he sees how this situation is not helping her anxieties and her worries. But he goes on, after first of all acknowledging all that she's struggling with, he says, I know you're worried. I know you're upset about many things, not just this, but about many things. But one thing is necessary. Are all of her anxieties and worries necessary? Probably not. Philippians 4:4-8 is one of the most convicting passages in all of Scripture to me. And it talks about be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious for anything. And y'all, our lives today are anxious lives, are they not? They are ruled by anxiety. And if I had to think of a word that would describe our culture, I think anxious would be one of them that I would put up there. But the anxiety, the worry, all of those things are not necessary. And that's what Jesus says to her. He says, look, I know you're anxious. I know you're worried about a bunch of things. But one thing is necessary. One thing is what matters. It doesn't have to be that you're driven by your anxieties. It doesn't have to be that you're driven by your worries and your fears. There's an alternative. And notice, he points out what Mary is doing. And I want you to think about what Mary is really doing. Is she just not doing the things that she should be doing? But what is really driving Mary? And notice he points this out. He says, Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. What is that right choice? To sit down at the feet of Jesus, to stop worrying about everything else, and let's just spend time with Jesus. Mary's priority was just to be with Jesus. And Jesus points this out to Martha. He says, look, I know you're worried. I know you're anxious. I know there's a lot going on in your life. But you don't have to let that be the thing that defines you. Mary was being defined in that moment by just being with Jesus. And he tells Martha, he says, Mary has made the better choice. And I love the fact that he says, it will not be taken from her. You know what he's saying? I'm not going to tell Mary to give up spending time with me so that she can go knock things off of your checklist, right? It's the relationship with Jesus that matters. Jesus said that was the good and it was the right choice. What does this mean for us today, right? I think we need to understand that Jesus knows exactly what's going on in your life, in every single one of us. He knows what is going on. He knows how stressed out you are. He knows how busy you are. He knows everything about you. Those times when you're the cow standing out there in the ocean going, we may not be able to answer why we are that way. But you know who can? Jesus. He goes, well, I can tell you why you're all stressed out. I can tell you why you're upset. I can tell you why you're angry. So come and spend some time with me, and then we can deal with that. We can work on that. You have the choice today. Today, you have that choice. Can I spend time with Jesus, or is everything else just going to rob me of that time with him? The choice is yours. Martha let the stresses of you know, a dozen people showing up at your house rob her of incredible, precious time with Jesus that she could have had. Do you catch the irony in all that? Y'all, so many times in our life, we let things rob us of spending time with Jesus, and we shouldn't. We let sometimes even great things rob us of the relationships that we should be building. Y'all don't know one of my biggest things that I hate about Sundays, for me personally? Being a pastor, Sunday mornings are kind of crazy and chaotic. You take a morning like this morning, we're short staffed because our Howard Payne people aren't here. And so, I'm having to fill in on guitar. You know why I hate that? Because that means I'm not out there building relationships. And I hate that. Hate that. And sometimes I let that control the things that I do on Sunday morning instead of go, let's invest in our relationships. Let's invest in Jesus. Let's focus on that and not worry about everything else, right? I hope that you understand that we have the choice every day to spend time with God. We have the choice every day to open this up, to spend time in His Word. We have the choice every day to, if we're going to make time to spend with God in prayer, we have the choice every day to sing and to worship, to live our lives trying to honor Him. That is your choice. And every day you make that choice, whether you realize it or not. I'm sure there was a time when Martha and Mary probably fixed supper for Jesus together. You know why? Because we all get hungry. There was a time when I picture Martha and Mary fixing a meal for Jesus together. And you know what I would love to have seen? If Jesus went right there in the kitchen and went right alongside with them. You know? For that moment, at least in that moment, Jesus reminds Martha, look, spending time with me matters more than anything else. So find a way to do that first. That doesn't mean your problems are going to vanish, and it doesn't mean that God's just going to snap his fingers and everything calms down and all of a sudden you have a manageable schedule. That's not the way it works, y'all. But I promise you, Jesus will go through your schedule with you. When you're driving to go pick up your kids from school, turn off the radio. Pray a little bit. Pray for the houses of the people that you follow. Pray for your schedule, the things that you have coming up. You know what the best places to pray is? The shower. Right? What else are you doing in there? It doesn't take a whole lot of brain power to go soap, shampoo, Rub, 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 rub. That doesn't take a lot of brain power, y'all. Pray. Spend time with God. Instead of turn on the TV, open up His Word and spend time in His Word. Instead of on your lunch break, open up Facebook and scroll to see what everything else is up to. Pull this out. Spend time in prayer. Pray for your kids. Pray for their families. Pray for your church. Pray and just spend time with Jesus. And right now, we're going to give you the opportunity to take the advice of Jesus. As our praise team is coming up here, we're going to worship. Okay? We hope that you will take the advice of Jesus. You're going to sit at His feet. You're going to listen to Him. You're going to talk to Him, and we're going to worship. It's your choice. So team, come on up, and we're going to pray. Father, help us in this moment to make the right choice to spend time with You. We thank You that You love us so much, that You're there in the midst of our busy schedules. You're there in the midst of everything we have going on. You want to be the Lord of all of our life, and that includes our schedules. That includes our busyness. That includes all of those things that are stressing us out this week. So we hand it all over to You. Be with us and help us as we go through our week. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen.